Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with my buddy Steven Cervantes. So how are you doing today?
I am well. Glad to be alive, and it's been a long time since you and I talked.
Well, yeah, and it's crazy that we're coming to the end of summer, yeah. And, you know, I'm really just days away from sending my oldest off to college, and ooh. So we're totally in that season right now, and I need to get pointers from you. You know, you had two daughters, and they're both grown and everything, so you might have to help me navigate. You might have to help me navigate these next couple.
You cry, then you miss them, then you call them, and you check, and you stay close. And
yeah, yeah.
You help with the launching, you know.
Well, hey, I want to let you know, because we are coming to the end of summer, and that means a lot of times that just a lot of ministry activity really ramps up going into the fall. And I want to let you know of our next two Gateway to Freedom workshops that are coming up. We've got one that's coming up in Texas, and that's going to be September 6th through the 8th. And then another one also coming up in September in Pennsylvania, September 27th through the 29th. These are powerful 3-day intensive weekends that we've just seen hundreds of men over the years really get to the root of their struggles and their issues, and not just merely dealing with the symptoms of sexual brokenness, but really getting down to the root. Yeah. And then we've seen it just work as such a catalyst for helping men move forward in living lives of integrity. So if you'd like to learn about more information and register for that, you can go to gatewaymen.com. And please register as early as possible, because space is limited at both of these venues. And to date this year, all of our workshops have been filled to capacity. So you definitely want to register early for that. That's gatewaymen.com. Well, Stephen, you've got, I think we've got an interesting topic to talk about here today. One that's so important, and I think practical in the life of anybody who's dealing with any kind of brokenness, but it's the issue of forgiveness, right? So why don't you kind of tell our listeners where we're going to be going this time around?
So everybody's been hurt on the journey called life, and we carry pain and scars and brokenness. And sometimes that stuff gets woven into the body, and it's like the body holds the memory. And we want freedom. We want to be able to rest and be at peace. And so what I love about the Christian faith is how one of the tools of Christianity is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it becomes not just an emotional act. It becomes a spiritual act and a healing act and like a transformational act, a big offering to God act. Even forgiveness is like a God offering act. And if that doesn't make any sense, well, good. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Because we're about to read what's called the 7 Steps of Forgiveness. I was at a training once, and it was called Sozo Prayer Training. A guy named Tommy Hayes was speaking, and he went down 7 Steps of Forgiveness. And I'd never heard it before. Just phenomenal. Because everybody said, well, just forgive him. Just
right.
Forgive him.
Yeah.
But it's like,
as if we can just flip a switch and
forgive. Yeah, okay, right? okay, forgive him. Okay, done, right? But there's some emotional work and some spiritual work and some healing work that goes on in forgiveness. And so this little format breaks it down really nicely. It's 7 steps. And it's the kind of podcast you may want to listen to a couple of times, because the words are really powerful and important.
And in that regard, I would encourage you, this might be one of those things where, let's say you're out, if you're in your car listening to this podcast, or let's say you're out on a jog, or you're working on, this might be one of those that you'll want to find a separate time. You can still listen to the whole podcast when you're doing that, but you might want to also find a separate time where you can actually maybe be taking notes and writing some things down for your own personal process of forgiveness, so
yes.
that it can be more practical and just more kind of enriching in your life. This is one of the more kind of nuts and bolts. How do we do this very thing we're talking about on the program?
Right. And so I've asked Jonathan to personalize it and put a name in it, so we could say, and fill in the name, or we could just read through it. And I asked him to read. He reads much better on the air than I do. And fill in a name so we could look, make this like a real live walkthrough session.
And also, so you know, listeners, the name that I'm going to be saying is representative of a real person in my history, but it's not their real name.
Good.
So, because one of the things I think is important is I'm not just filling in some fictitious name. It's like, no, I want to help you understand what does this look like and feel like to go through. Now, so you will know, I have actually gone through previously in my history forgiving this actual person. But for the sake of our time here, it's important that you hear that actual name.
And so we don't just say, okay, go do this. Right. We also model it ourselves.
Yeah, because we all need to learn how to forgive, right? Because it's part of life. Oh, we're all going to get hurt.
And this is a fabulous Christian tool.
Yeah.
And I say that together because most people don't think of it as a Christian tool. But it's powerful.
Well, I think we need to acknowledge, you mentioned it earlier, this is not something that, you know, just go do it, right? I mean, just make a decision and go do that.
Yeah.
I really think that forgiveness is absolutely connected to God because it's not something that comes to us naturally, does it? I mean, is it your natural inclination to want to forgive somebody?
No, I hold and I sulk and I can be moody and I can detach and write you off.
We want vengeance, not forgiveness.
So this is written in a prayer format. That's why I say it's a Christian tool that has greater power than just an emotional tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ready, launch in.
So there's going to be 7 steps here. So step number 1 is to say, so I admit.
No, back up. You start with Lord.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. So
it puts in the phrase.
And you said I'm the better reader.
You're a better reader, but I got to point out there's 2 lines here that make it a prayer.
That's right. Okay, so the beginning of the prayer is, Lord, I need healing in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want to provide the principles of forgiveness to past wrongs. I want freedom and peace over past matters.
This is old stuff, Lord. I want to get past it. I want the past to be released so I can be healed.
Mm-hmm. So 1, I admit wrong was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I speak out that wrong that was done to me, and I make no excuses or justifications for their actions. Lord, I forgive Jim for what he did was wrong to me. It was sin, and it was wrong. It should not have happened, but it did, and it was wrong. That action was not your perfect will. I want your perfect will for my life, so I speak out this wrong.
I speak out this wrong. I identified the wrong. I know the wrong lives in me, and I've kept it alive, but no longer. I am speaking it out in heaven's direction, out of my being. I admit that wrong was done to me. So the first one is, I admit it to myself, right? The admission is the first part. I admit, it's been a secret, been quiet. I admit wrong was done and I'm carrying it.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, I speak out the hurt done to me. Lord, I was hurt. I felt confused and angry and embarrassed. That action hurt and confused me. It caused pain, confusion, and ugly feelings in my life. Hurt and confusion is not your perfect will. I want your perfect will for my life, so I speak out this. I speak out that this action hurt me.
So step 2, wrong was done once. Step 2 is it resulted in hurting me. And that hurt has caused confusion, ugly thoughts and feelings, pain I've carried, and I'm speaking it out of me. That hurt has been carried in my body over something that was wrong and done in my direction.
So I look at these first 2 here, Stephen, and I think it's important to recognize, you know, one is kind of acknowledging the cause. The other is acknowledging the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wrong that was done to me, it's important. I think sometimes we sort of just lump those things together, and there's a distinction between, hey, I just need to admit what was done to me was wrong.
That's right. Done to me, not from God, but human brokenness was done to me. And that's a very healthy and important frame.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go ask for this or want this or plan this. Something was dumped on me and it was wrong. And then the second part.
And the second part is then what was the effect that caused in me? See, because I think sometimes what people do is, because sometimes in the hurt that was done and then out of the effect, we then maybe take wrong actions ourselves and we do some things that are hurtful. And so therefore we find it hard to admit the first thing that wrong was done to me, because then we might say, yeah, but I didn't respond well. And yeah, I didn't.
Right.
And so then we start, rather than recognizing the reality of being a victim of having something wrong done to me, I then just lump in my own sinfulness and brokenness and shame and then say, yeah, well, but who cares? Because I didn't respond.
Well, or I deserved it.
Yes,
although
yeah.
You get real weird in the head.
There's a false guilt about
yes,
the wrong
about
done to me.
I was in the wrong
me.
Place, and if I didn't talk, or if I hadn't said, or if I didn't, right?
As a little sidebar, isn't that really so much of what we saw really kind of in the Me Too movement, right? Is this idea that so many of those victims that remained silent for so long were carrying a false guilt, like...
Yes.
Like, well, hey, you must have been provocative. You must have been the one that
right.
asked, invited that.
You didn't assert and fight back and push, and you messed up.
And this is saying, no, let's draw the line between something was done to me that was wrong,
yeah.
and then the effect it had on me, I have to own what
right,
I did with that effect.
Just as you say, there's such freedom. I admit that wrong was done to me. There's
mm-hmm.
such freedom in that. Like, I just showed up. I was an innocent person. I just showed up to have fun, to play, to do, to act. And then something completely unexpected, planned by another,
mm-hmm.
was done to me.
Yeah. So then number three is, I choose to release Jim to God. Lord, even though he hurt me, I choose to release Jim to you. That does not mean I forget what happened or say it's okay. No, rather, I give them a gift they do not deserve, just as you gave me a gift I did not deserve. You've given me mercy and forgiveness many times. So I release them from all my expectations and judgments. I release him to you.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That line just punches me in the gut. I give him a gift that he does not deserve.
Mm.
He did wrong to me, and I give him a gift that he does not deserve, just like I got a gift that I did not deserve. My father gave me a gift that I didn't work for or earn or have to prove or be good enough. He just gave me this gift.
Now let's just
I pass it to him.
Let's also just acknowledge the very real difficulty with this particular point in the process of forgiveness or in the steps of forgiveness. Yes, we need to be grounded and rooted in an understanding of the mercy and forgiveness God has given to us, right?
Yes.
But let's not assume that then that makes it a really easy thing to release the person that has done a great offense against you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And what I'm trying to say is, we need to acknowledge in this moment we are not God. And so it's many times we in a moment we'll release, but then we'll immediately grab back and we'll pull that person back in to mm-hmm. hold it. You know, to hold it against them, to continue to cling to the wrong that they did to me and really kind of cling to them in order to keep them sort of punished or, you know, whatever else. It's hard to release. This is a pivotal point, I think, in the steps of forgiveness. But I just want us to help the listener know it's not something just automatic. Just because you've said wrong was done to me and it hurt me, it doesn't mean that immediately becomes easy to say, and I release this person to God.
Right. And I think it's in this point, it's going to develop a little further, but in this point, it's a cognitive act.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an offering to God, a spiritual act of offering, and a cognitive act that says, you know what? I don't want to care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. It's caused confusion. But I am making a choice to carry to death this and keep it alive in me, or I'm choosing to release it so I don't have to carry it.
Yeah.
And in this step, the next one's going to clarify a piece of this.
Right.
But this is a cognitive and spiritual act.
So number four, I have felt pain and I release that pain to God. Lord, I choose to release all this pain to you. You know the pain that I've carried. I do not want it anymore. So I offer you this pain. I release it from me. I give it to you. I release myself from carrying the pain any longer. I also release feelings of unworthiness, shame, and failure. I want your perfect will for my life, so I release all the pain.
Isn't that great? So there's pain that goes with being hurt and devalued and cheapened. And the wrong act happened. It caused pain. And that was interpreted as negative beliefs about myself. The pain carries these beliefs. It's a physical act stored in the body, right? This pain. And it translated into unworthiness, shame, failure. Somehow it brought me down. The act that someone did brought me to a place I'm not supposed to abide in.
Mm-hmm.
But I want your perfect will for my life. I don't want the unworthiness, the shame, the secrecy, the failure. I don't want the physical part. I don't want the pain part. So I have felt pain. I know this pain. And I'm not only releasing him in thought, I'm releasing the pain and some beliefs I've been carrying. I want clearing in my being.
And I think there's actually an interesting complementary nature between the first two steps and the second or the third and fourth step. You know, because the first step is I'm admitting wrong was done to me. So that's about the person, the other
yes.
person, right? Then you're saying I'm admitting what it's done to me, like the hurt that it's caused me. So that's about me. The third one is I'm choosing to release my offender. Well, that's about the other person, right? And then this one here is I have pain and I'm releasing that pain. So one and three are about the other person. Two and four are then about my response but all of this points then in this three and four of there's a release that has to happen, right?
Yes.
I release the offender, kind of in putting them in God's hands. I release them, but then I also have to release what I have carried.
Yes.
In response to what they have done to me. And I think that's so important because I see this happen over and over and over again where, especially wives, when we're dealing with wives that have been betrayed by their husband sexually, is they will say, I have forgiven him, but they have not released the pain in themselves for what that has
built caused. All around that, right?
Yes.
That pain caused confusion and shame and unworthiness and why me, and if God loved me, it messed with my faith, it messed with my personal belief, my belief in humanity and society. I'm just carrying confusion and pain and doubt, right? You did something, and I got so messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number five is, Lord, I've not handled the incident perfectly, so I repent of my sinful responses. Lord, you know how I responded. I've carried thoughts and feelings that are not good. So I wish to repent of what I have been carrying in response to the incident. Resentment, even wishing harm on Jim. Lord, I want your perfect will for my life. So I repent of my sinful response.
Oh, wow. Back to me again, right? It's me and then it's him and then it's me and then it's him. So I played a part. Right? And it was not a God response. That hurt spun me in a direction that flowed out thoughts and feelings that were ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I became bitter and resentful. And I shook my fist at heaven. I shook my fist at him. I shook my fist at myself and said, why can't you be better? And so it's like how I responded was not helpful.
Well, and there's what I see in this is sometimes a very, very difficult thing to do because how many times do we feel justified in our sinfulness because of the hurt that somebody else has done against us? In other words, I can almost try to make this appeal to God. God, he deserved an angry word. He deserved my wrath to be poured out on him.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? So, hey, don't hold my sin against me for, I mean, because it was caused.
And if I act like a fool, well, it's justified. Yeah. He is the.
And so the thing is I see I believe there's power in this part of the repentance piece, or recognizing there are things that I have to own, not about what they did to me.
Yes.
But there are things that I have to own in terms of how I may have responded sinfully. And I really want to make sure people understand that distinction there. You're not repenting of what was done to you. That's that other person's
part.
Guilt,
yep.
Right? But you are saying, I didn't respond perfectly. I wasn't Jesus in the response, you know? And even if I didn't respond verbally or physically to that person, like for instance, in my case, my response was not directly to that person, but I carried deep resentment and almost and hateful thoughts toward that person. Well, that's sin.
Right.
Jesus says, you know, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. But I say, if you have hate in your heart, you've already committed. Well, that's sin before God. So it's important that we do this repentance response. And that's, I think, what leads into then number six.
Whoa, my turn. What is this? I repent of my sinful response. I repent. I go to my Father and say, I too have sinned, Father. In response, I didn't carry myself in a Christ-like manner. I built a wall. I got an attitude. And I have to come to you and say, I'm guilty too in this. I have to release. I have to come to you. I have to repent. This sinful thing, actions that have tied up and gnarled up my own heart, my own sin response has gnarled up my heart, and I must repent to you, Father.
And I think what that does is repentance, if I can put it this way, almost demands that we enter into a state of humility. Which then I think gives us opportunity to then do what number six is in this process of forgiveness. Number six, today I do an unnatural thing. I bless my offender.
Wow.
Lord, I pray for the person who hurt me. Show them what they did. Convict them. Reveal to them their wrong. Show them the damage they caused. Let them be convicted so they can move to repentance. Lord, may they also receive healing. You bless me daily, so today I bless them in Jesus' name. I want to have the same heart you have for hurting people. May they one day know your forgiveness and mercy. I bless Jim today.
Wow, there's such power in that. It's just like, we get this wrong. We say, if you offend me, then you must come to me and you must apologize to me. And when you take ownership, then I may release it. But I may not release it. I must carry it because you offended me. And so I'm the keeper of the record of wrong. And I'll hold you account till death. I'll keep it in my body, the account of the pain you caused. But this is such a Christ-like act. Not only to release and to get some healing for yourself, but to go a step further and say, I bless him.
And think of the example that was set for us by God. The Bible says that while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. In other words, what that meant was we were the ones that had offended God, and he didn't wait and say, you come to me.
Right. That's right.
He said, no, I'm going to move toward you in an initiation of a forgiving act. And therefore, through that, he blessed us before we ever acknowledged our offense to him.
That's great.
And I think, so there we have the example. And then finally.
So see if you can say that. See if you can pray this and get to the point where you say to Father, I don't condemn him. I bless him because he's part of the creation too. And he's a big screwed up mess and he's imperfect. And I don't want hell on him. I want heaven on him. So I bless him.
And so then number seven is, today I receive a heavenly blessing. Lord, now that I've released him to you, please fill me. Make that place inside me be new. Fill in that cleared away place with your love and fullness. What do you have for me? Bless me as I listen to you speak. Pour into me. I want your perfect will for my life. Reveal to me your new, deeper truth.
That's fabulous.
So one of the refrains that I think is important for us to point out that's been made throughout all of these steps is, Lord, I want your perfect will for my life.
Mm.
I think that's a good thing to sort of kind of be repeating in your head even as you go through each of these is, Lord, I want your perfect will. And perfect will doesn't mean perfect circumstances, but perfect will does mean perfect peace. And so I think that's one of the fruits that comes out of forgiveness is we finally have peace in our soul, right?
Yes, absolutely. What I like about this is make that place inside me new. Because I'm releasing capacity in me, storage in me, history in place, boxes stacked up with records of wrong in it. I'm clearing it out and saying, take this and use this place for more good inside me. Show me a new, deeper truth rather than I have to get my own justice. Show me something about your love, about grace, about forgiveness, about mercy, about healing, about wholeness. Show me something that I've been missing.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, just in closing this prayer, we can say, Lord, thank you for what you have done today through this forgiveness prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a forgiveness prayer.
So I want to say, this is a way, these seven steps, I think, are a way to just bring some order and maybe some fluidity to what is a very difficult process. You know, so, and I hope it brings some clarity, too, so the listeners can think, When I recognize that impression from God that I need to forgive, it's not just some kind of nebulous, you know, arbitrary out there, like, hey, I just need to somehow just say these words, I forgive you, and magically everything, you know, works out.
Right. And people say that, just forgive. Okay, let's go eat lunch. Okay, just forgive. Okay, let's go shopping. Or just forgive. Like, what the heck are you talking about? This is a huge act.
Yeah, if you think about it, we're talking about the wrong that was done. We're talking about the pain that it caused. We're talking about emotional, spiritual. We're talking about even having to recognize our own sinfulness in response to the offense. We're looking at doing something that's way outside the box of actually blessing a person who has hurt us. So this is something that I think if you really begin to go through this process well, you become, if I can put it this way, kind of a person of forgiveness. It's not, you learn to release things
That's
quicker.
Good.
You learn to, as my dad would say, keep short accounts. You know, you don't let things build up. Somebody offends you, go through this process and be released from that burden of bitterness and pain that can continue.
That's good.
Well, listeners, we hope this has helped. If you're walking through a difficulty right now where you're really feeling like I'm struggling to even maybe get through step one of forgiveness, please reach out to us. We want to be able to help you along this journey. We've got lots of resources that can help. You can check us out at puresexradio.com or on Twitter at puresexradio. And we're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.